appreciate that good singing. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Y'all there already? Amen. I told y'all to go ahead and turn, and I didn't, so give me a minute. I love the Lord. How about you? He's been way better to me than I could ever even think I could deserve. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul in 1 Corinthians addresses some problems going on in the church. And sometimes it wouldn't hurt us preachers if we would just take on the language of some of these men that God used in this day. Amen. Amen. And address situations and difficulties today. And it probably wasn't much different in Paul's day. When there had to be a little hide skinning, people probably got a little upset. People probably got their feelings hurt. Some probably even quit. But I bet some got right and was better for it. Amen. I bet some were glad that they had a preacher that was willing to say, hey, this is not right and this is not right, and stop that or we're going to deal with you. Amen. I remember as a kid, just after I got saved, I was just 19 years old, but they were changing the record-keeping stuff at White Oak, my home church. They were changing from handwritten ledger books to computer. And Brother Junior Bearden was doing all that, and I was back there with him one day, and he said, "You want to see something funny?" And I said, "Yeah." And he got out these old, you know, the cloth-bound ledger books. He got those out where they had taken the minutes from the conference meetings. Woo-hoo! You would not believe some of the things. So-and-so, would you stand? Is it true? Yes. Get right or get gone. That's pretty much what it said, man. I thought, wow. Man, we'll try that. Amen. Amen. But anyway, so Paul's dealing with these folks. I'm going to start reading at verse number 23. And probably read the rest of this chapter. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore," now here's where he's trying to give them some warning. He said, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So people say all the time, "I don't appreciate people judging me." Paul just told us if we had judged ourselves, people wouldn't have no room to judge us. Amen? Amen. Amen. I know I don't judge myself like I ought to. Do you? He said, "But when we are judged," in verse number 32, "we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world." Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Now, with verse 34, just let me explain what he said. He said, if any man's hungry, let him eat at home. This ordinance that Jesus left the church, he only left two: baptism and the Lord's Supper. Is that right? And this one we're fixing to observe tonight. The other, I think we observed, was it last Sunday night or Sunday night before last, when we baptized quite a few. But what he said was, we're not here to eat a meal. This is not fellowship after church. Now, I know in the old school where I grew up, there were people who would preach against having food in the fellowship hall. They thought it was a sin because what Paul is saying right here. He said, if any man's hungry, let him eat at home. Listen, when we go out there to have a meal, we're going out there to have a meal. But when we come in here together around this table, it is not to be filled with bread or the grape juice. It is to remember what Christ has done for you and I. They teach, there's several, and I won't go through it. I usually do just about every time, but I'm just going to bump it right here and we'll go on. There's several different teachings or different doctrines about the Lord's Supper or communion. I prefer the term the Lord's Supper. Amen. That's just me. I prefer, I guess the communion sounds a little too much like Catholicism to me. Yeah. Amen. But some of the old timers, they had what they called a closed communion. In other words, if you were not a member of that particular church, you could not partake of the Lord's Supper. We believe, and if you disagree with us, that's all right, but we believe in an open communion. In other words, you don't have to be a member of the Happy Valley Baptist Church to enjoy and celebrate what the Lord did for us with us. But you do have to be born again. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. Now the Catholic teach, and this has always amazed me after I got saved and began to study the Bible and study other things and found out what they do. You know, they take the wafer and the wine but they actually believe that when they take that wafer, it actually becomes the body of Christ. They believe that. There's a big old long fancy word for it, about that long. But they believe that. They believe when they take that cup, it literally becomes the blood of Christ. I'm not kicking the Catholics tonight, but that's satanic. Amen. That's satanic. That's what Satan worshipers do. They eat raw flesh and drink blood. Amen. When we put this unleavened bread in our mouth tonight, it is not going to become Jesus. I mean, you'd really have to be kind of out there to believe that, wouldn't you? Amen. Well, how was your service last night? We ate the Lord. We drank His blood. And I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that's what they teach and that's what they believe. But it is dead wrong. When that wafer came out of the box, it was a wafer. When that wafer went down their throat, it was a wafer. When we put that bread in our mouth tonight, it's bread. When it goes down our throat tonight, it's bread. It is not literally becoming Christ. It is in representation of Christ. Are we okay tonight? So let's understand that what we're doing tonight is symbolic. He said, when you do this in remembrance of me. Amen. So there's some things we want to remember. Back a few years ago, right after 9-11, I remember that first year after September 11, 2001, they had those bumper stickers that said, remember 9-1-1. Yeah. Well, there's some things we ought to remember in our American history. By the way, there's several states and many other states working on it. Several states have already voted. They're only going to teach American history in high school, public high school, from 19, somebody tell me, 1877 forward. They're leaving out all our founding forefathers and what the country was built on. There's some things we need to remember. We need to remember that Boston Tea Party. We need to remember the Mayflower Compact. We need to remember, those things that those men gave their lives for. Amen. That we could do what we're doing tonight freely. Amen. That we wouldn't be forced to take a wafer and say it was Jesus' body. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's some things we ought to remember. But there's some things about our Christianity that I'm afraid we too soon forget. I remember, and some people disagreed with it and got mad at me, but Sister Stephanie, I don't know where she's at. Sister Stephanie, who's over our nursery, she used to run the theater down in Carrollton. She was the manager. And they had that film come in, The Passion of the Christ. And she made they had to preview every film. So she made every employee stay over to preview the film. She wanted me there to witness to them after it. But I remember sitting in that theater and people sobbing all over the place, including myself. You know what that film did? It made me remember. It made me visualize something in my mind. It took a truth that I knew to be so and gave me a picture of it. We all right tonight? That's what we're here to do. But there was no doubt people sitting at theater that night who hadn't shed a tear over Calvary in a long time. When what it ought to do is break our hearts every day at what Jesus went through for us. And in these verses tonight, I'm going to go through them as quickly as I can. But don't you look at verse number 23 and down through 25. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the cup, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." First of all, we're going to look at three areas tonight that we need to think about in taking the Lord's Supper. First, we need to look backwards. We need to take a backwards look. Amen. Then we need to take a forward look. And then we need to take an inward look. What Paul is telling them in verse 23 through verse 25, he's saying, let me remind you why we're here. Let me bring to your memory why we are here. There was some evidently some kind of problem or irregularities in the way these people were doing this. And Paul said, wait a minute. Remember what Jesus said to me. And remember what I said to you also. That night he took bread and said, take and eat, this is my body. That night he took the cup and said, this is my blood. Amen. He said, we need to take a look back here and realize what we're doing. I'm afraid sometimes in our Baptist churches, we do things so ritualistically that's all it becomes is a ritual. Yeah. Amen. I remember the first time after going to church, after I got saved, at first service I walked to White Oak Springs, third song, every service, Amazing Grace, number 57. Ain't that right, Brother Todd? That's what we sang before fellowship, just about every service. And people sat there and sang that song, Amazing Grace, with blank looks on their faces. I still can't sing Amazing Grace with a blank look. But if we're not careful, we fall in such a vain repetition of things. It's just something that we do. It's tradition. What we're doing tonight is not tradition. What we're doing tonight is we're looking back some 2,000 years at bloody Calvary where Jesus shed his blood, suffered and bled and died so that you and I don't have to go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever. Amen. So let's take a good look back tonight. What are we looking for, preacher? Let's look back and remember the body that was broken. The Bible said his visage, his face, was marred more than any man. Never a man been beat like he was beat. Let's look at his body that he said was broken for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. What they did to Christ, there's nothing we've seen in modern history to compare to what they did for him. And while it seems that they took him to the stone, the place called Gabbatha, they tied him up and there they beat him and beat him and beat him till his insides hang from out his back. You know what he said? Nothing. We've got a picture of a helpless man being brutally beaten, but he wasn't helpless. He wasn't helpless. We've got a picture of a powerless individual. Oh, bless his heart. Then he just has no help and he can do nothing about it. That's the thing he could have. He wasn't helpless. He wasn't powerless. Matter of fact, he was all power. All he had to do is speak and it would have been done. All he had to do is speak and they'd all been slain. He wasn't there because he was powerless. He was there because he loved me. And he was there because he loved you. No other reason. No other reason. Every stripe, every fist that beat against his face, every crown that pierced, or thorn that pierced his brow, he took that willingly. You know what the Bible said? He set his face like a flint toward Calvary. He told his disciples over and over this was going to happen. When Judas came to betray him, he kissed him and called him his friend.
Amen.
We need to look backward tonight as we partake of this. And we need to understand what we're doing tonight is in remembrance of what he did 2,000 years ago. Because of what he did 2,000 years ago, I could stand here with meaning in my heart tonight and sing, "Redeemed, redeemed."
Yes.
Amen. All because of what this represents. Not because of what this is, but because of what this represents. Brother Freddie said he may have said it in when he was making an announcement. I can't remember. I just heard him say it just here sometime tonight. He said he was having devotions with his kids. And it's talking about getting to heaven. And they said you'd know the Lord when you got there because he'd be the one with the nail prints in his hand. He'd be the one with the scar in his side. Amen?
Yes,
we need to look back tonight and see exactly what Christ did for us. The crown of thorns that was on his head. The nails in his hands and his feet. The insults that they lashed out at him. The sign that they nailed over his head.
Amen.
Everything they did. Would you just stop and think for a minute? You can shut your eyes if you want to. But see if you can get a visual. And see Christ hanging there. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator of everything that exists. He is all power. He is all knowledge. He is all wisdom. But yet his crown's made out of a thorns that are about that long.
Amen.
They said they would literally go through the skin, hit the skull and curve and come back out his eyes. And can you picture that tonight? Can you picture that? Can you picture as they gambled for his garment?
Yes.
And hung him naked before the world. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said he despised the shame. He didn't like Calvary, but he loved you. He didn't like the beating, but he loved me. There's things as parents we'll suffer for our children's sake, not because we want to suffer, but because more than we don't want to suffer, we love our children. So as we look back tonight, let's remember why Jesus hung there. Somebody said it wasn't the nails that held him to Calvary. It was my sin. And it was your sin. So let's take a good backward look tonight before we go any further in this service and think about what it was that Christ did for us. Greater love, the Bible said, hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Wow. Do you ever just stop and ponder on that as you go through your daily life, what Jesus did for you? Man, sometimes I think we ought to just stop. I take it for granted.
Amen.
Do you? I remember when I first got saved, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, man, it was just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I'd lay in the bed at night and think, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe he died for me. I know how sorry I am. I know how wicked I am. I can't believe anybody could love me like that. Then as the years went on and I began to grow and learn about the Bible a little bit, and it just seemed like that amazement kind of waned or worn off. We ought to get amazed again.
Amen.
That somebody would go to that length for you. I told you a while back about the little girl. She had some kind of terrible blood disease and she had to have a blood transfusion. And she had a rare blood type, and the only person they could find with that same blood type was her brother. So the doctor called the little boy in and said, would you give your blood for your sister? And the little boy paused and Big old tears run down his face, and he waited for a minute, and the doctor said, "Well, son, would you?" He said, "Yes, sir." They got the little boy on the table and got the IV hooked up to his arm. He said, "Doctor." He said, "Yes, son." He said, "When do I die?" He was literally, the little boy misunderstood. He didn't know. He thought he was actually giving all his blood for his sister. You know, that's what Jesus did for us. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. But he knew the implication of it. As he took that bread, let's remember the body that was broken. Let's remember the shame, the humiliation. And as he took that cup, let's remember the blood that poured from his side, poured from his head, every part of his body. Remember the blood, because it's the blood that's what washed away our sins. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible said, there is no remission of sins. Let's remember that blood. Blood has always been God's requirement for a sacrifice for sin. But what's new about this sacrifice is it didn't just pay for a year's sin. A-double-L. The Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say amen. Right? What are you saying? I'm saying it's been paid in full. Past, present, future. Took care of. Covered at Calvary by the blood. The reason that Old Testament sacrifice couldn't cover it, it was infected blood. It was messed up blood. It was blood born under the curse of sin. But when Jesus came, woohoo! You know what? The Bible said it was precious blood. Amen? Precious blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. Thank God. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I got on my face in that prayer room a while ago and said, "God, please forgive me of my sin." We'll have an altar call before we take the Lord's Supper tonight, and I'm going to ask God, "Forgive me of my sin again." What merits that? What that cup represents? You see, the blood that kept me out of hell is still keeping me out of hell. The blood that covered my sin on that New Year's Eve 26 years ago is still covering my sin today. Amen. 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 I don't have to get saved over and over and over and over. Thank God. Amen. Once was enough and it got the job done. Amen. So let's look backward tonight. Let's look backward tonight and remember what Jesus did for us. But then let's look forward. Ashley and them used to sing that song. They hadn't done it in a while. There's a brighter day a-coming. Amen. There is a brighter day a-coming. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse number 29, he said, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Amen. I like that. As I take that bread and say the blessing in a minute, and I take that cup and say the blessing, and we partake of that, that reminds me not only do I have a past that's been forgiven, but I have a future that's been purchased. Amen. He said, "We're going to do this again together." He said, "I want you to do it as oft as you will and do it in remembrance of me, but I'm not going to do it again until I do it with you." I like that song, "Brethren, we have met to worship," or "Holy Man" is what I always thought it was called. But that little song said, "Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around." I believe in a literal marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And all us, oh, unworthy sinners that's got up under the blood of Calvary, under the spout where the blood comes out, we're going to pull up beside the table and fellowship with Him. Can you imagine how precious that day's going to be for John, who laid on his breast? Peter and James. You see, we got the promise just like they did. They got it from His face. Woo! I wonder if in heaven tonight they're not going, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? How much longer we got to wait? And I believe the Lord's saying, it ain't going to be long now, John. Won't be long now, John. Everything's going right along the plan. Oh, Obama's like a puppet on a string. It ain't far off now, John. Oh, look at all that going on over there in my homeland, my chosen people. Look at all that stuff going. Look at all that trouble with Ishmael. It ain't going to be long, John. Just be patient, amen? As we come tonight, I've got something to look backward to, and as I look back, I have tears in my heart and my eyes, and my heart is broke for what He done for me, but I also rejoice. Amen. That's what Paul was talking about when he said he had glory in the cross. Yes. Amen. Yes. That's where our salvation was purchased. And we can look back at that tonight with humble and thankful hearts and thank the Lord for what He did at Calvary, but we can look forward. We can look forward to what, because of what He did at Calvary, what that has ensured you and I.
Amen.
Just read John chapter 14 one time.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So as we take this cup tonight, let's not just look backward at what He has done for us, but let's look even to the present, what He is doing for us.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me and you. He ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Amen.
Amen. He pleaded our case at Calvary. He's still pleading it today.
Yes.
Thank God. But then let's look at the future. Because of what He did, because of what we're remembering tonight, we're going to heaven when we die.
Right.
If we're saved and we know Christ as our Savior.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Somebody said, well, I just don't believe in heaven. You will.
Yes, sir.
You will. Had a man told me on the street one day, I don't believe there's no place called hell. I said, you will. Do you know, naturally, I think hell's easier to believe in than heaven is. We can see evidence of that spewing up out of the ground.
Amen.
So I don't believe in heaven and hell. You will. But as we take that backward look, we take that present look. Let's remember that forward look.
Amen.
I've got loved ones. Family. My wife has a little sister and a brother and a nephew and a father who's already there.
Amen.
Brother Charles has a mother.
Yes.
Brother Jason has a father who's already there.
Yeah. Already there.
Amen. Already there.
Yes, sir.
This morning, Brother Stacy came in and he said, come here. He had one of the little Walmart folders where you get pictures done. And he said, here, you want to look at these? And I opened them up, and they were all of Brother Jay when he was young. Boy, and I just stood there and just teared up, boy. I'm going to see him again.
That's right.
I'm going to see him again.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to worship together again.
Amen.
One of the highlights of my Christian life. See, he was my spiritual father, my hero. He led me to Christ. But boy, when he came here and joined our church, and Jason, he had sat on that front row right there where you are and backed me up when I preach and say amen, and I got to worship with him.
Amen.
I'm going to get to do that again.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to get to worship with Brother J.M. again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, you just wait, man. There'll be a crowd up there saying somewhere, oh, don't pay them no mind. That's just that Happy Valley crowd. Hey, man. That's what they say around here during the Gold Rush Parade, ain't it? I don't pay them no attention. That's just that Happy Valley crowd. You think we happy now, friend? You ain't seen nothing yet when we get to see him. It's going to be great to see Robbie and Nikki and Sherry. It's going to be great to see. I never got to meet Sister Angie's real dad. One day I will. One day I will because he was saved. Amen. It's going to be great to see Brother J.M. And it's going to be great to see Brother Jay and little Wanda that we brought to church for years in the wheelchair and see her walking in a perfect body. It's going to be great to see that. Absolutely wonderful to see Laurie Powell again and Brother David Dilbeck and these people that we love with all our hearts. That's going to be wonderful. But it's not going to be anything compared to seeing him. Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Yes,
yes.
Woo!
Yes, sir,
bro. I mean, boy, we ought to look forward to something tonight. That ought to make you want to cry, even so. Come quickly. Amen. So we've got something to look back at, what he's already done for us. But we got a little something to look forward to. You see, that's the thing we possess in our hearts that can keep us going through a recession or a depression, through an illness. Amen. Because this ain't the end for us. Some people, this life is all they have because they don't know Christ. This world's the only place they got any hope. But for you and I who are saved, the end of this thing is just the beginning for us. We're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in a perfect place where there's no sin, no heartache, no sickness, no death. All that will be gone. Can you imagine, man, my nose is running right now, these old sinuses. Can you imagine having a perfect body? Come think about it. I mean, I'm about as close as you can get, but I just had to throw that in. Can you imagine that? Brother Todd, I have sinus headaches. Brother Todd has migraines. Can you imagine never having another headache? Ain't that going to be good?
Yeah.
Woo! You know what? You won't even remember them. I'm saying I've got something to look back on, but I've also got something to look forward to. Amen? Verse number 27. Now let's get real serious right here. Whosoever, or wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now listen, this is the part of the service tonight where we're going to do exactly what he said, and we're going to judge ourselves. We spend a little much too much time, I'm afraid, judging one another. Worrying about somebody else's business, what somebody else has done that ain't right, blah, blah, blah. Let's spend some time tonight, me, myself, and I. When I lay down behind this pulpit in a minute to pray, I'm not even going to talk to the Lord about your sin. It's got to be mine. You see, this thing's personal between me and him. And it's personal between you and him. And I'm as convinced as I am that I'm breathing, that no matter what I've done, I can get under the blood tonight. Amen. So we took a backward look. We took a forward look. Let's spend a little while tonight and take an inward look. An inward look. Don't throw a blanket over it. Lord, forgive me of my sin. If you're like me, it's not S-I-N, it's S-I-N-S, it's plural. But let's be specific with God tonight. Amen. We're confronted with a pretty important challenge right here in these verses, that it's possible to do what we're about to do unworthily.
And he said, by doing it unworthily, that we endanger ourselves of sickness, even death. Now listen, I understand this. We are all unworthy. Do you know that? Every one of us are unworthy. Nobody deserves God's grace or deserves that Jesus should die for him. But what he's talking about here is that we should not partake of this in an unworthy manner. Our motive has got to be right here tonight. Amen. Amen?
Yes,
not taking the bread and the cup seriously is unworthy. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Not actively thinking about what we're doing is unworthy.
Amen.
By not confessing the sin in our lives is unworthy. Listen, lastly, and I'm going to say this. Taking this cup and this bread and not knowing Christ as your Savior is unworthy. So I would take some time tonight. The Bible said, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith. So tonight we ought to examine ourselves. These Corinthians, some of them were guilty of gluttony. I remember Brother Greg preaching a message on gluttony one time. Brother Jonathan McNeese did it the day after Thanksgiving this year, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Sure did. Gluttony. See, we don't always cover those little sins, do we? Well, y'all got quiet. We don't cover those little sins, but they count. Amen. What about coming to this table tonight with an unforgiving spirit or a bitter heart? I would say that would be taking that cup unworthily. In other words, tonight, before we do this, how many of you remember when you got saved?
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Praise you.
You remember how clean you felt that very instant? Remember the difference just in your insides. It just felt different.
Yes.
That's what we need to feel before we go here tonight. Brother Todd, if you would you come to the piano and just play? I'm not even going to ask him to sing a song tonight. I'm just going to ask Brother Todd just to play. And let's stand our feet together. Listen. Go ahead. As soon as you make it to the altar, find a place to kneel. I'm going to ask everybody else, just quietly, if we could bow our heads and close our eyes together. Nobody looking around. I wonder, I wouldn't embarrass you. I won't come to you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. I wonder if there's one here tonight. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died right now. Heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. I'd like to get that settled in my heart. If you can really know that you're going to heaven when you die, I'd like to really know. Brother Eddie, please pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Anybody? I just felt led of the Lord to ask that question. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Let's just pray together. Fathers, we come before you this evening. Lord, nobody raised a hand tonight, but God, you know every heart. God, as we get in these altars to pray, Father, I pray you do exactly what needs to be done. We'll give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.